Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. And this is our discussion show. Tom and Melissa Gould are here. Bob Ginsberg, Fran Ginsberg is here. And tonight we're going to be talking about celebrity paranormal experiences. We don't often talk about that, so it'll be a little fun and educational topic. And if you want to join in, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. And before we get started, as you usually do, you want to get us caught up.
Get everybody caught up and get our announcements out of the way so we can get into the juicy stuff. We want to remind our listeners always, check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, to find out all the latest events and happenings. First thing coming up free, February 9th. From 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, that would be from 11 to noon Pacific, the Visionary Explorers Group meets online. So if you're interested in that, check it out on the website, and you can sign up for that. Our first webinar of the year was presented by Dr. Michael Grosso last night. It was a great hit. Thank you, Dr. Grosso, for such a wonderful and informative webinar on the case of St. Joseph of Cupertino, the man who could fly. Our next webinar is scheduled for March 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern and will feature Dave Kane presenting 41 Signs of Hope. This is not to be missed, and it is free for our members. Watch for special offers of the free seats to the new followers on our social networks. Our annual Holiday of the Earth raffle is up and running. Enter now to win up to 5 medium readings with certified mediums Tracy Lee Nash, Neil Zapowski, Renata Santarelli, Catherine Nadal, and Eliza Ray. The drawing is set for April 22nd, Earth Day, and it's only $5 to enter. The annual summer group retreat, Love Knows No Death, is open for enrollment with special discounts to our members only that are going to be sent out secretly via email.
Ooh.
So be sure to grab one of the 50 seats to this great weekend where attendees work in small groups with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Ann LoCicero, Siri Bernstein, and Joseph P. Scheel, along with Dr. Mo Hanna and a caring staff of facilitators assisting in transforming your grief. This special weekend is scheduled for July 26th through 28th in Chester, Connecticut, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. And please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, Bob.
You know, before we get started, and I didn't have a chance to mention this to Tom and Melissa before, but I assume you watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now you may have missed this because I was sitting there watching, and I pay attention to the commercials as I always do. I know in many years they're better than the game, and this year I think they were. But I'm watching, and all of a sudden there was an Audi commercial, and I go, I can't believe what I'm watching. The commercial was about a near-death experience. Did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, this is
really fabulous.
Basically, you know, it starts off, and you could Google. If you didn't see it, you just find the Audi, they call it the Cashew commercial. So basically, I'm watching, and it looked interesting. It shows a young man walking through a field of, like, golden wheat, you know, and the sunset, and it pans to the where he's walking towards is an old farmhouse. And as he gets closer, you see an older gentleman standing on the porch of this farmhouse. And they finally meet up, and he goes, "Grandpa," you know, and he says, and he greets his grandson and says, "I've been waiting for you," you know, and he says, "Come with me, I want to show you something." And they go into his garage, and he has like a car that's under wraps, and he takes it out, and it's a shiny new, you know, Audi or whatever, one of those electric cars. And he gets in it, and he's all excited, and he starts to rev the engine, you know, to take it for a spin, and all of a sudden you see like a lightning, you know, a bright light, and the next thing you know, it cuts to this young man in his office, and he's slumped over his desk, and somebody give him the Heimlich maneuver, and out pops a cashew, and then they look at him and they say, "You know, we were worried about you, son," you know, like whatever. But so I get it that they're using a near-death experience to sell stuff, but I was really excited because when did you ever see that in the mainstream, you know, kind of?
And by the way, just so our listeners know, it is posted, the commercial is posted on our Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
If you want to watch it. We're kind of taking a little bit of credit for all the hard work we've put in over the past 18 years and trying to make people understand that near-death experiences are real, and Audi got the message.
Yeah. Good job, you guys.
All right. That fits right in with the next thing.
Yeah. So you probably looked a couple up on myself, you know, celebrity paranormal stories. They center around three different themes. Like one would be ghosts, that they see ghosts or apparitions. Two would be dreams that they have, prophetic dreams. And third would be near-death experiences. And there's quite a number of celebrities, and I can't attest to any of these. Well, I'm going by the media reports, so I'm not saying that the gospel, but they sound reasonable. The first one I saw was Carrie Fisher. And she said that she had bizarre experiences after her close friend Gregory Stevens died of a drug overdose at her Beverly Hills home. She claims that in the days after his death, she heavily felt his presence lurking everywhere, as well as having the sensation of being watched and even touched by an unseen presence. And it goes on that she saw lights and equipment would turn on and off for no reason. Of course, the person writing about this said even spookier stuff, you know, because, you know, we know that that's how they presented. But I thought that, you know, that was interesting because it was soon after the death and the sense of presence. That's kind of stuff we talk about all the time.
But didn't her mom, Debbie Reynolds, also report immediately after the passing of Carrie Fisher of feeling her around? She also reported some experiences right after Carrie's passing.
And I believe it would have had to happen immediately because didn't Debbie die like the next day?
Yeah, a couple of days later. Yeah.
But that makes sense. You know, come with me. Come with me.
Well,
it's cool over here.
And that goes along with all of the end-of-life experiences that people are noting now, is that when you are closer to the veil, which Debbie may or may not have known at that point, that those experiences are more easily attainable because you're that much closer. Also, and I think Bob and I were talking about this the other day, so many parents tell stories, of course, hindsight, of children having said strange things weeks or months before their passing, even if the passing was accidental and not because of an illness, but something that made them now think back and say, wow, they already knew that they were towards the end of their physical existence.
Yeah.
So the puzzle pieces are falling together.
That's right.
You want to do got one, but if you want to do another.
If you got one, let's hear it.
well, you know, when I was thinking about this, I recently, people who know the late night TV show James Corden, and he has gotten notoriety for doing what he calls carpool karaoke,
right?
And most notably for me is that he went to Liverpool and did a whole show with Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I saw it. It was great.
There's an actual double whammy here in the paranormal. They were in the car and talking about how music can touch people and that sort of thing. And then Paul told the story about how he was it was years into the Beatle phenomena. In fact, it was getting close to when the Beatles were breaking up. And, of course, there was a lot of inner turmoil in the band at that time. And, you know, the whole world was crazy around them. And, you know, Paul, it was giving a lot of anxiety to Paul to dealing with all of this. And he went to sleep, and his mother, who had passed when he was a teenager, came to him in the dream and said, "Paul, don't worry, everything's going to be all right, just let it be. And he woke up and he goes, let it be. So he wrote the song, you know, Mother Mary Comes to Me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And then, of course, they did the karaoke to that song. And when they ended the song, James Corden had tears flowing down his face.
They both did.
And he said, I can't believe, you know, it caught me in such a way, but I got to tell you that my father and my grandfather sat me down one day, and he said, you know, we're going to play you the best song that's ever been written. And they played Let It Be for him. And, you know, Paul, for all the accolades he's gotten, you could see he was touched by that. Mm. And then James said, I wish my grandfather was here to see me with you singing this song. And Paul Turney goes, he is.
That's great. And we know, and we can get to that after the break, but McCartney also, he wrote a other songs that came to him in a dream. So he's a dreamer.
You might say he's a dreamer.
Somebody stop you.
All right, we're going to go to a break. We come back. We've got a whole slew of celebrity stories. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, they are present. Available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. And before the break, Tom was telling an interesting story about Paul McCartney. And I also have here in my notes that, which Tom probably knows, that he composed the entire melody for the song Yesterday in the Dream.
Yeah.
He says it came back to him fully formed when he woke up, and he quickly replicated the song on his piano, asking his friends and family if they've ever heard it before. He was initially worried that he was simply replicating somebody else's work. And for about a month, he said, I went around the people in the music business and I asked them whether they ever heard it before. He said, eventually, it became like handing something to the police. He thought if no one claimed it after a few weeks, then he could have it. Supposedly, he also... I remember reading another song, I don't remember what it was that came through a dream. So some people, we know songwriters and artists, and so, as we see some scientists, they get breakthroughs in dreams.
Well, some of them call it their muse or whatever, there's some entity that feeds them.
Well, that, along those same lines, Keith Richards has a story that he used to keep a tape recorder by his bed for just this sort of thing, that if something came to him, he could get up right away. And one night, one morning, he woke up and he noticed that the tape machine was on and the tape was all the way to the end. So he had no idea what was on it, only that he knew that he must have woken up and put something down on it, and then fell right back to sleep without even
setting it on.
Yeah, and when he rewound it, it was Satisfaction, which was a number one song for the year of 1965. And just a side note, Paul had the melody for Yesterday, but he didn't have any of the words. And while he was trying to figure out if it was somebody else's, the words he sang were scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs. Na 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 na.
Actor Donald Sutherland traveled to Venice in 1968 to star in Kelly's Heroes. While there, Sutherland contracted pneumonia and almost died. He wrote about the near-death experience in Smithsonian Journeys magazine, and he said he felt out of his body at the time of his illness. He wrote, "Standing behind my right shoulder, I'd watched my comatose body slide peacefully down a blue tunnel, that same blue tunnel the near-dead always talk about. Such a tempting journey, so serene, and no barking, nothing to wake me up. Everything was going to be all right, you know." So classic near-death experience, but it was in 1968 when it wasn't written about, so much. So it gives more credence. Supposedly Elizabeth Taylor, she had a time where she was dead for 5 minutes before she got resuscitated. She said she experienced a welcoming out-of-body experience that felt like floating in liquid mercury. During the experience, Taylor was introduced to angelic figures, including her late third husband. He told her it wasn't her time yet to die and that she needed to go back. And when she awoke, she no longer feared death. Boy, that has everything in it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, wow.
She was meeting a deceased loved one, floating above her body. It wasn't time to die, and that, she, of course, the most important thing, she no longer feared it. So there's another celebrity near-death experience. I mean, evidently there's tons of them. You know, scientists, too. Niels Bohr, who won the Nobel Prize for Physics, he often spoke of an inspirational dream that led to the discovery and structure of the atom. He said he got his doctorate in 1911 and gained notoriety for deciphering complex problems in the world of physics that had left his colleagues stumped in time. He said upon understanding the structure of the atom, but none of his configurations would fit. One night he went to sleep and began dreaming about atoms. He saw the nucleus of the atom with the electron spinning around it, much as the planets spin around the sun. Right after he woke up, he felt that his vision was accurate, but he was a scientist. He knew the importance of validating the idea, which he eventually did, which led eventually to the Nobel Prize. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever dreamt about atoms, Tom?
No, actually, I don't think I have.
What do you, we seem to dream about what we need to dream to solve a problem, right?
I mean, yeah.
Last night I had quite an elaborate dream that went on and on about, I was trying to get the dinner together. The paella was cooked, the rice was creamy, and everyone wanted to go fishing. So that, what does that mean?
And then, of course, I believe that Einstein dreamed his theory of relativity as well.
He
right.
did.
We call that, too.
He did. And then, there's a story of Abraham Lincoln's famous dream. There's some controversy over whether or not, it's true or not. But his former law partner, his friend and sometimes bodyguard, told a famous story about how Lincoln had a premonition of his own death. It says, according to the tale, just a few days before his assassination, on April 14th, 1865, Lincoln shared a recent dream with a small group that included his wife, Mary Todd, and his law partner. In it, he walked into the East Room of the White House to find a covered corpse guarded by soldiers and surrounded by a crowd of mourners. When Lincoln asked one of the soldiers who had died, the soldier replied, "The president. He was killed by an assassin."
Wow.
That's always, has been in question. But even if the story wasn't true, they say Lincoln was apparently quite interested in the meaning of dreams. In an 1863 letter to his wife, who at the time was in Philadelphia with their 10-year-old son, Tad, Lincoln writes that Mary had better put Tad's pistol away as he had an ugly dream about him. Evidently, I guess the dream was something bad was going to happen, happen with the gun. And the members of Lincoln's cabinet also recalled that on the morning of the assassination, the president told them he dreamed of sailing across an unknown body of water at great speed.
He also apparently revealed that he'd had the same dream repeatedly on previous occasions before nearly every great and important event of the war. So he believed in the predictive power of dreams. So they say that he used the information in his dreams to help fight the war, you know. So
his wife held, along with him, not like he didn't know about it, seances in the White House regularly.
I recall hearing that.
And there are tons and tons of stories from different presidencies of paranormal activity in the White House.
Yeah. Well, Lincoln's wife used to attend seances on a regular basis.
She had them in the White House.
In the White House. So there were seances in the White House. Now, supposedly, I don't know whether it's true in that Lincoln sat in on one or two, but that's never been verified. But
I feel like that doesn't really surprise me, given that in those days, you know, we didn't have all the social media and television and all the other distractions that we have now. So they had to get pretty creative with their thoughts and their free time. And so I think that kind of
A time of war. People were dying. So mediumship kind of worked into that very, very well. And the Lincolns had lost more than
mm-hmm.
one son.
Mm-hmm.
So this was something that was of interest to Mrs. Lincoln.
And I think she did they said, you know, different mental problems, which, golly, you know, if you've had that much tragedy in your life, that's...
I always thought that the writing off of her having mental problems were by the people who did not
believe in this. It sounds like that, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. She's unbalanced. Yeah.
She's unbalanced. She's talking to dead people.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, friend.
Did you know that Tony Bennett had a near-death experience?
No.
Oh, really?
In 1979, one night he took a hot bath and passed out. The tub overflowed, and he actually drowned. He had to be brought back to life with CPR. And before being resuscitated, he described having an out-of-body experience. He said that he was enveloped by a golden light, which enveloped him in a warm glow, clear, yellow, peaceful plane that everybody who mentions a near-death experience sees. He says it was quite peaceful. In fact, I had the sense that I was jolted out of the vision. He said the experience helped him, actually dying helped him reevaluate his life and his career, and he made positive changes.
Wow.
And Johnny Cash, another one. 1988, he had an emergency double coronary bypass. He caught pneumonia, became very ill, and during his illness he spoke of seeing heaven along with a peaceful light before being brought back into his body. He also had a positive experience. He changed his life. He said, that great light is a light that now leads me on and directs me and guides me. The great light is the light of the world. That great light is the light of this world and into a better world, and I'm looking forward to walking into that great light. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, maybe we never heard about these things when they happened. You know, we're reading about them now,
yeah.
But... like I said, in 79, and, you know, I mean, not that many people were talking about near-death.
Yeah, because you're even mentioning earlier that the media wouldn't grab onto this because it wasn't popular
mm-hmm.
stuff back then.
Right.
You know,
right.
People were written off as being nuts if they spoke about it. That's why I forgot who you mentioned earlier was written up only in a journal, because the media wasn't going to feature it, because then you'd take their celebrity people and write them off as nuts.
This I had heard before I read it recently. Mark Twain traveled to Memphis to see how his brother was coping. His brother was badly injured, and odds for survival were low. With time, his brother Henry appeared to be recovering, but he was accidentally given an overdose of morphine that killed him. Mark Twain had a dream where he envisioned this before, and now the events were playing out. And he went to the funeral parlor to his surprise, He saw all the details of the dream materialize. He found his mother and his brother in a metal coffin, which had appeared to him in the dream, and he saw him wearing the suit that he saw in the dream, and he saw the flowers on his chest that he saw. So here's somebody that, to his great dismay, the next day saw his dream come into fruition.
Did he share that in journals, Bob, or was it?
I read it in several books, you know, and then this was just an encapsulation of the story.
With his great writing ability, you'd think he would incorporate something like that into.
Yeah.
Maybe he did, some unknown work that we don't know.
Could be. Matthew McConaughey.
Wait, let me guess. He dreamt that he was doing car commercials.
He was in a Lincoln.
Another Lincoln story.
Making
okay.
Loads of money. He found that a new home he had purchased was haunted shortly after moving in. The spirit is described as a middle-aged woman dressed in blue who he called Madame Blue. One evening, he claims that he heard anomalous noises downstairs in the middle of the night and no one was there, and she was apparently glimpsed or heard rummaging about the home on several occasions. He goes on to say that on another occasion, he got so sick of her antics that he would say he stood his ground, and he said, "You can move around all you want, but I'm not going anywhere." And supposedly, a lot of people that came to his house verified that they saw that same, you know, Madame Blue. So it goes back to whether or not, I mean, Lloyd talks about this all the time, whether certain spirits have an attachment, you know, to the earth plane, or, you know, in the case of hauntings where it's kind of a replay of a memory that's in the physical location. You know, people keep seeing that.
Yeah
residual. Yeah. If the character, the vision apparently, well, like they'll say, oh, this woman, she walks the widow's walk every night. You'll
right.
see her walking the widow's walk, and if there's no interaction or change, then that's usually what you say. It's a residual energy memory.
Right. So the way they describe it is like an apparition or a ghost is a conscious entity.
Yeah.
Like a spirit entity. So they can interact. That's why you hear all these interactions. But a haunting, like you say, Tom, is just a place memory. Mm.
And that would bring us to Georgia Marion Kirby on Topper, because they interacted.
That's right, the ultimate celebrity.
Well, here you go, back to the White House. Jenna Bush Hager, daughter of the former President George W. Bush, spoke during an interview in the Tonight Show about the White House being haunted. Apparently, she had been visited multiple times by spirits. I heard a ghost, she said. I was asleep. There was a fireplace in my room, and all of a sudden, I heard 1920s music coming out. I could feel it. She said, I freaked out and ran into my sister's room. She was like, please go back to sleep. This is ridiculous. But this isn't the first time someone associated with the White House has had a supernatural experience. And supposedly, former First Lady Hillary Clinton also communed with the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt during a seance. Again, a modern-day seance, you know, in the White House.
The White House must have a special room now set aside for seances. I mean, they've got so many rooms there. Why not?
Well, there is talk that Nixon used to talk to the paintings of the former presidents, but that's not necessarily
paranormal.
Yeah.
He talks to tape recorders, too.
Yeah. Lucky for us.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan, who a lot of people are familiar with that story, in 2014, he was in a horrible car crash. He was close to death, severely injured. One of his friends was killed in the crash, and he was rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. Slowly he rehabbed back to death, but he later explained how the accident changed his life. He claimed that he went to heaven following the accident, was met by his late father, who passed away when Morgan was a teenager. And he says experiencing near death made Morgan cherish all he has in life. He says something's different the way I am with people. Something's just different. I find myself saying I love you 200 times a day to strangers. He says, I don't care. I got to know you to love you. I love you. So, I mean, Sharon Stone, everybody, I think, knows about. She was famous for talking about her near-death experience.
I don't recall that one.
Yeah, in 2001, she had a stroke, and she described, you know, while she was getting the MRI at the hospital, of seeing a white light and visiting the afterlife, you know, and she describes it as being very peaceful. Sometimes on the stage, like in the theater, the director Peter Jackson from
Lord of the Rings,
yeah, he was staying with his wife in an apartment across from the St. James Theater in London. One night he woke to find an apparition of a woman at the end of his bed with a face that seemed to be, you know, frozen. He really never spoke about it, but it turns out that, you know, the people in the theater described, oh, yeah, that they see her all the time. You know, she just hangs out. She just, the theater is her place. And it's amazing that, you know, so many people know their examples, how they would see it, but they would never repeat that to anybody. And then somebody says it, and then
you hear that a lot, you know, about, oh, that house, if people see her down there. I mean, Lloyd has one of those stories out west in California of a restaurant where the woman comes all the time. And you're right. And people saying, oh, yeah, people see her all the time.
And then they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, they're here, but I don't believe in the answer.
It's like in Cheers, you know, just one of the regulars. Norm, you know?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back to talk more about celebrity paranormal experiences. Stay with us.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perissetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about celebrity experiences. Now, here's one that I certainly never heard of, never would have figured, but General George Patton was a huge believer in reincarnation. He also talked about having seen clear, lifelike visions of his ancestors. He believed he was the reincarnation of Carthaginian General Hannibal.
Okay.
And he was also a poet, which I didn't know.
Wow.
And he wrote, so is through a glass and darkly the age-long strife I see. His poem declares that he's been reborn many times, always as a soldier, and it illustrates how he has fought as a Greek phalanx, a Roman legionnaire, a medieval warrior, and a sailor on a warship. Another surprising fact that they list was that he was taken to France on his first assignment during World War I, and he had never visited the place before, but he knew it quite well, and in the end it was him who gave the French liaison officer a guided tour. So, here's one of the great, generals of our time. It would make sense. It would be great if he was a soldier for many lifetimes.
Of that theory or that nonsense that we come back as different things because
we have
to learn different lessons.
Right.
Well, obviously he's got this C thing down well.
Yeah.
Maybe he had different challenges in each of his incarnations.
Well, that's his soul group.
Or he chose to come back because he was such a good leader.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think all reincarnations are punitive.
I agree.
I think come back because you want
choice.
And it's like the poor calls on a football game. He wants a chance to do it over. That one call he didn't
do
like.
Do over.
Let's not go there.
That person's getting reincarnated.
Saints, you know.
Ah, here we go. Another person who was no stranger to seances, Madame Curie.
Oh.
She was around poltergeist phenomena regularly. I'm looking here. Emma Stone. She talked about her ghostly encounter with her deceased grandfather. She said, there's a long family history with quarters. My grandfather leaves quarters. She never met her grandfather, but Stone is convinced it is him leaving behind the mysterious coins. It's him. It's absolutely him. When asked what leads her to believe it's him, she says the story would take too long to explain, but she continues to insist it's him.
I'd like to hear that.
She was on Letterman, so Letterman, of course, said he'd be more fascinated if there was scientific proof, and she talked about, that's the joy of it. It's not a logical thing. It's magical.
She also believes, she said, in ectoplasm, which she describes as a milky substance that indicates someone has been there. So here's somebody that evidently has, if she knows about ectoplasm, has been dabbling in, in so-called occult or physical mediumship for a while.
We should get her on the show.
Yeah, we should.
Get Letterman on the show.
I think we're ready for that. Let's have the celebrity show up here.
Yeah, there's a lot of scientists. I happen to be reading this book of a guest we're going to have on in a couple of weeks, Dr. Jeffrey Kripal, and he writes about a lot of the scientists that were affected by dreams, you know, and they go on. This Hans Berger, who lived in the late 1800s, he died in 1941. He was the first human being to make an EEG. Recording of the human brain when he died, which he did in the 1920s and gave EEG its name. One day in the German military, he was tossed from his horse in the direct path of a speeding carriage carrying an artillery gun. He was about to be killed, and he knew it, but the driver of the carriage somehow managed to stop in time. But just then, his oldest sister, that was many miles away, was overcome with great fear and deep dread. She was certain something terrible had happened to her beloved brother. She was so certain that she made her father send Hans a telegram immediately. And when Hans read the telegram that evening, he became convinced that somehow his sister had known at a significant distance about his near-fatal accident. He had never before received a telegram from his family. He struggled to understand this incredible coincidence based on the principles of natural science, but there seemed to be no escaping the conclusion that his intense feelings of terror had assumed a physical form and reached his sister several hundred miles away. In other words, Berger and his sister had communicated by mental telepathy. He never forgot this experience, and it marked the starting point of his lifelong career in psychophysics. And he dedicated the rest of his career to the strange and significant phenomena. After his military service was over, he returned to his university studies, this time to study medicine and become a psychiatrist so that he could pursue this mysterious psychic energy, as he called it, an energy that could somehow transcend local space and link one brain to another. Eventually, he did, in fact, discover a technological means to record brain waves and demonstrate that the brain was an electrical organ whose activity could be correlated with specific states of mind and mood. As he accomplished all of this, he engaged in a systematic study of 200 individuals, which he tested for telepathic abilities after they were put in a trance state. He was obsessed, in the words of his biographer, with the correlation between objective activity in the brain and subjective psychic phenomena. It was Hans Berger who coined the term brain waves, which now is part of our language.
Yeah.
These were originally called Berger rhythms or Berger waves, and now they're referred to as the waves associated with EEG. So it just shows you from a simple life experience of that was telepathic, which did not fit into his world at all, but since he was a scientist, changed his whole life and made scientific discoveries based upon that supposed coincidence, right?
And another celebrity, I did not get tickets, but fortunately Netflix is showing the Bruce Springsteen show on Broadway, and he gets... He gets spiritual a couple of times when he's talking about Clarence Clemens, the big man on the sax, who has passed away. He clearly talks about seeing him again, and then he ends the show basically talking about the eternal soul and how we do go on. Not quite as specific as some of the other examples, but it struck me when I was watching it that there was definitely a spiritual basis to where he was coming from.
He may still have some stories, just not
telling them yet.
Just not telling them yet. I'm surprised they're not in the song. Maybe they are.
Maybe, yeah. I would imagine they are because most of those songs
probably came from
laced with that.
Yeah.
Undertone of what they truly believe.
Can you think of another prominent leader in history whose assassination was seen in a dream? When I say it, you'll know. Julius Caesar.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Caesar didn't have the dream himself. His wife urged him not to see the Senate after having terrible dreams. While deciding to remain home at first, Caesar went anyway and ended up being stabbed to death by a group of some of his not-so-loyal fans.
Yes.
So another reason we should pay attention to our dreams.
And our wives.
Even more important. And that, what's that saying? Happy
wife, happy life.
I didn't have to prompt you. You knew that, right? Tom, is that
that's
inaccurate?
True, yes. Right? The flip side is also very true.
So, you know, a lot of these celebrities, we're talking about them, but they're... there's probably so many of them that have had experiences, like all of us in the general public, but for reasons protecting their career, or, you know, they don't talk about it. But some talk about it prominently. Now, I'm sure some of them talk about it because it's another way of getting publicity. They say no publicity is bad publicity, right? But others just do it because they're moved. And I think the most significant though, of the people that have the near-death experience, whether they're celebrities or non-celebrities, because, you know, when you have a dream, you don't necessarily make life changes. But when you have a near-death experience and you die and you see you don't die, I don't know how it could help but change your life, right? So.
Right. Well, I also think that going back to Sharon Stone, she did not reveal her experience right away. She waited a few years before she went back on and came out with that story. So, you know, you can say either she didn't think it was going to be good for her career, or she decided to hop on the bandwagon and maybe make up a story. So, you know, why didn't she tell it at the beginning?
Yeah, and for our listeners who are interested in this topic, we can plug one of our certified mediums. Kim Russo has a show called The Haunting Of, where she has celebrity guests every week, or when it's on anyway, and they all have had experiences that they delve into.
Yeah, most on the set. A lot of those are on the set where she's explaining.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's good about Kim, is that she's able to explain it to people and take that woo-woo factor out of it.
That's right.
And put it into the place where people do understand what's really going on.
Yeah, the thing that's most encouraging to me is the scientists that are willing and able to relate how they made discoveries based upon, you know, dreams, because they're scientists. So.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something to it if they're admitting to it, you know, and even proud of it, or maybe they're trying to teach us something. And with that, I think you have some closing remarks.
We're ready to wind down. Okay, we're going to ask our listeners to join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.